1934-1969 agenda communication.
Yeah. good shot. Dunk it over here.
I have a letter here that the
sent notices to my office this morning from Phillips Young Incorporated to advertise in a population. I'd like to read it to get it all on the table. He's also sent, both has some other material here. I just received this and read it myself, but being here.
Thank you. Even that would be an insult. but to caricature, come to this caricature, but to caricature, caricature, mind you, not a photograph, a caricature. Yes, when it refers, as it refers to me, as added to the intuitive racist overtones in this society. This is the majority picture of Mexicans and Mexican Americans. Have you ever asked me how I see our men? You know, I see him as a beautiful child, with his beautiful white hat, with his silver and gold embroidery, with the proverbial white charger. The racist majority deals openly with their fantasy. They must give me a right to show my fantasy, which affects our children so easily. And believe me, fantasies are not something to be thrown around easily. They're very serious, as many doctors can say.
I was just thinking about the letter that you got from the advertising agency. And the letter is just, I'm assuming that you can take the letter face value. And not that it means that you're fine if you do this.
But it's utterly amazing to say.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, yes.
It is utterly amazing to me that our city has been sponsoring community dialogue for 2 years. And the purpose of these dialogues has been to help sensitize people and help people understand what the problems are in the world as they relate to black and brown people. And here is a major advertising agency that never thought fit to have a representative attend and see what the issues are. And yet, they are responsible for presenting the images of major businesses in our area. We never had anybody to come in and see just what is it that you're talking about. The second thing that's amazing to me is that a company like this does not have any fear. I'm sure it couldn't have. There couldn't be a Mexican American there who didn't see a red butt back. I know, I didn't know it back. I've been on that period. I would have known at once. Man, you don't make every Mexican American in town on you if you put this thing. Now, what I'm saying is, here is another company that can be set to put on its payroll a Mexican American and a black person. Now, anybody here following around in the same racist trend. And it is this that really is basic to our problem here.
I broke myself to that letter. The question whether they were really sincere. I picked up two phrases. We wanted to demonstrate the attractiveness of businesses. This is my attractive. What do we go back to? If you really follow, if you really aware of what we're talking about, we do not need to do it, but we did it. This is what, you know, a very useful game that we do as players. We really don't mean it, but then we're done. So I would question that.
Thank you, Ben.
Yes, I am. Definitely not just you, and it certainly means that this is not a dream or the politics of the real land, but this agency that is a dream, the printing of this letter and expecting about whether they insult these people or real lives. It assumes that this apology was better than intention. Yes, to me, and I apologize in that magazine, so they would be real. I'm trusting they're in such a feminist way, but they just satisfy the community to think they're good.
Let me add one before. I understand that, I don't know what company this is, because I did this this morning, but in the past 2 months, I've become aware that they allegedly have hired minorities. Is anyone from here to speak to that in here?
They don't care. They do not quite know what they don't know. I'm not quite sure that they're ready to deal with that at this point. I'm saying that, you know,
Philip Ramsey. I understand very hard. So this purpose is very dynamic. Philip?
Hey, Upon which he could take action against companies such as the gas company.
Vivi and several other people have written letters complaining about this, but that's not enough. I'm looking for something tangible, and I would like to see some sort of legal action taken to stop this, an injunction, if you will. Perhaps the judge is the person to answer this.
Who did for the injunction? We'd have to argue it before.
I would move to table this motion until the Mexican American Federation reviews it and considers it very seriously, because as I said before, we came here as a committee to the Mexican American Federation, and we would like open discussion and this type of grandstanding, as I see it, should remain until the end.
I would respectfully withdraw the resolution, Your Honor.
The motion has been withdrawn.
The old business of taking it from the top and bringing it down, it should come from you. Entirely correct.
Thank you, Mr. Butler.
That's going to be a whole appointment, but you got to leave, Judge. I'd like to say something about something of the other, Adam. I'd like to suggest to the gas company that they run another ad. They're using the same format. It reads something like this. Floodlighting makes American racism a fact. And then have a different, they could do the same damn thing they've done here, but have a different editorial explanation of it below. And it would tell a story. What we have to do is to quit looking at the obvious racism in America and start looking at racism in America as it really runs, controls, permeates what some choose to call the establishment of this society. This is part of it. We start, every one of us in here start looking it up. Anybody who could have seen that advertisement and not have reacted negatively to it is still suffering from the kind of racism that suppresses the black and the brown and the other minorities. And I appreciate the candor of the city attorney, who said he would have missed it. He is saying, no, and we know that that he is in good faith. He means well, and he wants to do something, but
I'm a racist.
He's a racist. He's a racist. He's not an evil racist, but he's a racist.
Scientist who incidentally to participate in these
dialogues. He's not a good person in terms of racism as representing evil, malignant people who intend to be bad, but people who have not intended to be good enough to look at themselves and find out what really causes racism to continue to do, in spite of all the talk we've had, continue to allow the suppression of people, continue to allow a city council, and now I'm going to move into the other thing, continue to allow a city council to approve a housing project in this city that is going to create one of the greatest ghettos in America. It's inevitable. It can't help but occur. It's a regressive measure. Mm-hmm. It shows insensitivity on their part. It shows that this society and the government of this community is out of touch with
like the
historical growth or death of urban areas. We in San Diego have an opportunity because of our distribution of land and the complexity of the community.
become a model city in this area. We could do things today that would make San Diego a model of what an urban society ought to be. And we have taken a step that is regressive in order to assure that we're going to aggravate the problem instead of help solve it. The water is going to flow downhill. That city that is going to be built will become, and contiguous to the ghetto, is just going to become a ghetto in newer buildings and newer structures.
I wonder, Judge, if I could then take your other idea that you mentioned earlier, and so that could be an agenda item then, so we can discuss it later.
Which ought to be an agenda item soon enough, so that whatever is happening, and I'm pleased to see the Board of Education and the Superintendent of Schools say the very same thing. They were beginning to reach them, and but we failed to reach the city government, what we were.
Susie, would you make a note, please, on the set with City Council for next steps in terms of the South Lake Terrace project, please? I have to stop just a second. We have several people who are invited today, and we realize all of you were not at the table, etc. But Judge has left. Creighton, would you mind coming up to the table there as we move on here? And I'm going to ask some of these up front. Hey, I just made some of the hands I haven't been able to get to. Shoot over here, and then over the lady back here, and over here, and here. The charge of you. Yes.
I don't know if it's appropriate to bring the focus back to this. Judge Lindsay did a little bit just before he left, and Ed Butler mentioned it. But again, I'm one, and the thought occurred to me even before Ed said it. I wonder if I would have seen this, if I would have picked it up. This is so difficult to come to grips with. If this is what I would like to see, at least one of the things I'd love to see us address ourselves to today. How do we really get at this white racism in the white community? How do we sensitize us, me, to the situation so that these things don't happen? And that's just part of it, I realize. But I think this is something that really, really bothers me right now. There's been that we've been talking.
Well, this is what this is for. This is what this is for.
George. Yes, I wanted to comment on some things that the judge said and that Ed remarked upon. I too am sorry to say that I'm trying to overcome my racism, and I hope I'm progressing. But I'll have to go along with Ed, and I've been in and around the advertising business for many years, and I probably wouldn't have caught that as being offensive because of the background that we're here to discuss. And I regret that, but nevertheless, this is the way it is, and we're trying to educate those of us who are of that persuasion. That we're trying to educate all of us to see these things and be sensitive to them. I happen to know, and I'm sure Carol does, and most of us do. I don't think that the gas and electric company is any different than I in this respect, nor Ed, as he stated his position. I'm confident that they did not do this in any way maliciously. They simply didn't see it. Whether it's because, as Tom says, they don't have the proper people on their staff, I'm not a commissioner, Craig. But I don't think they did it maliciously. I'm confident they didn't. We all know that men like Joe Sinatra have done so much for many, many things in this community. He's not about to do anything like this maliciously or intentionally. And certainly good business would dictate he didn't do it anyway if he knew what he was doing. He didn't know, and neither did the people that created it. I only make this as a defense because of the ignorance and the hope that we that are this ignorant in this area are gaining on seeing these very things that we're discussing here. I hate to see the gas and electric company condemned as being bad guys with black hats because if they did it, it's crazy. But they didn't do it intentionally. How do we get at that problem?
That's a lot of things there in the
cowboys. In my newspaper, a column, my newspaper wrote a column about it.
paper are you?
I'm the co-owner of the school district store. Yeah. And this is what apparently brought it to the attention of the Mexican Americans. The thing continued to appear a month after it was called to the attention of the agency. I called it to its attention.
You tell us who you are, so everybody will know.
My name is Lowell Blankford.
Ben
Ellery, I wanted to react to your comments about San Diego Gas and Electric. Who has the responsibility over there for selecting a sensitized agency? And who has the responsibility since the Watts riot for introducing sensitizing programs into the firm? It would seem to me that Mr. Sinat would have some responsibility in this area. And the same thing with the Urban Coalition. Been a year and a half in for this for small ambush of Washington, D.C., it was set up. And I'm sure Mr. Sinat has had the opportunity to work within that structure to get the issue of racism discussed within the community a little more broadly. I just wanted to get on to the final.
Excuse me, I have to run, as I mentioned earlier, but I think you started out by saying that this did not ever become anything a personal matter, and maybe it's my fault introducing this, but I think it's getting close to a personal now thing against Mr. Sinat, and I think that he or the gas company ought to be represented before it gets any further.
They were invited.
I realize that, but I think
we could move it in that direction. That Roger is pointing out, we probably get dangerous if we keep calling a name like that. Keep it with the gas company, and we're safe. Keep it with the gas company.
I just wanted to raise the issue of leadership responsibility in general and respond to your prior panel.
Leading it in good hands with Clayton and Ed and all of them. Bill Henry.
Thank you, Clayton. We've got half to go.
I wanted to respond to Mr. Whitney, but if he's gone, perhaps this still has some value. If the agency is truly regretful, if the gas company is truly regretful, are these people have never participated in this? Do they intend to do anything about it now, or is it just we're sorry fellows and wait until we stumble again?
Well, I think the Mexican American Federation has some demand that we're going to cover presently the whole world.
We're talking about here an element of racism that says that there's a group of people who decide to do nothing about the situation. I think that our point here is saying that we are going to exercise our self-determination. We, as Mexican Americans, in China Federation, are going to do the deciding, the negotiating, with whoever is involved. You can do as a dialogue whatever you wish. Right now, in order to destroy this myth, this very destructive sort of thing that is happening to us, we're going to exercise our principle of self-determination and decide what it's going to be done. Apart from what the dialogue has to do, I'm just going to clarify the point.
I'm not sure if you can answer much in any dialogue. It's kind of foolish. But I would think that anybody that would let something like this get out into the public would be awful foolish, because right at this present time, we're in the process of celebrating the 200th anniversary of San Diego. And to me, San Diego is Mexico, because they started this whole business.
You're wrong.
I would say that, rather than put some garbage like this out where people can see, they would be putting something that would uplift the Mexican Americans, because if it hadn't been for the
Yeah.
We just wouldn't even be here, you know. So I think that this would be retracted, and something much better here should be put up there. Because if I went someplace and saw a black man in this position, like I have seen in the South, where these little black kids on these fishing poles, you know, like this, you know, I'm totally going to take care of it. So, I don't know what you're going to do about stopping things, but I know what I'm going to do about this. So, from now on, if anybody comes up to me with something like this, I don't care intentionally or unintentionally, brother, you're going to get it. So, you can look at it.
All right, we're getting back on the front here. The Mexican Americans have made it crystal clear and with great eloquence that this is their problem. They're supposed to handle it, and God bless them, and what else we could give, I think we should. We have invited a number of news media people here to address ourselves to an agenda in reference to
To them, I suggest respectfully that they, now that we've had this brought to our total attention here, you've got us involved, and you've now informed us that you treat man with yourselves. I think should make a motion we get back on the agenda to the end that we can now listen to and accommodate those members of the media here who are here for the first time and the Urban Coalition people to get at those issues.
All right, can I hold the motion just a minute, Ed, because I think we can end it here.
I'd like to make a statement that as we do represent the Mexican American Federation here, and I can't speak for the Federation entirely, although we have been asked to come here on their behalf, I would like to make the concerns known to the CIC. They're going to probably expand to a larger number in terms of concerns and demands, but I would like the CIC, the dialogue, to know what these concerns and demands are. One, and by the way, they will be expanded and perhaps even changed a little by the Federation. One, we are going to ask that a full retraction, public retraction, be made by Life magazine and the Gas and Electric Company. So we don't feel that we have to put our advertisement in their magazine, or that we have to do anything. They have to do it. Number two, we are going to demand that an editorial, a feature editorial, come out in Life magazine depicting the Mexican-American in a positive image, as opposed to the very negative and downgrading image that they have done. Third, we are going to look a little deeper into the situation here and request that employment be given to Mexican-Americans at all levels, at all levels. Fourthly, we are going to also involve the city. As it already has already been mentioned, we feel that right now it's of vital importance that the Mexican-American be depicted not only in a positive fashion, but be included far more than it has been in its 200th anniversary. So we're going to ask the city to participate letting the Gas and Electric and Life magazine know that this is a kind of thing that the city cannot stand for if you're going to celebrate the 200th anniversary. Fifthly, we're going to ask that the Gas and Electric Company and even Life magazine begin a sensitivity program. So they can know what Chicano is all about, and we won't hear the statement that we really didn't feel that this was going to be offensive. That's a bunch of crap, to be very frank with you. And sixthly, and this is still up to the Federation, this is probably more of my personal concern, something that Ed Butler had mentioned in writing here, that we may even ask Chicanos, Mexican-Americans, which number close to 90,000, to turn off their electricity or perhaps not even pay their bill for 1 month.
I didn't suggest that.
No, I didn't.
That's all yours. All right, two more on this, and then we'll get on to the other one.
Oh, we're three more altogether. You were up a long time ago.
I won't give them any to say off news, but I will say that I spoke to the regional office yesterday of Life magazine and spoke to the man in charge. And as I pointed, and I would like to share this with everyone, the conversation. I told him that I was the chairman of the committee during the campaign, this ad, and that this ad was before me, and he said, but Mrs. Chacon, he said, I didn't find it, he said, a life advertising policy is never to portray an ethnic minority in bad light. So you see, even life with their scanning or their depenetration of any ad that they put in their paper needs a great deal of sensitization. And he said at the time that I said, I don't know what Life's advertising policy is. However, I do know that I have before me this issue, and this is what I would like to talk to you about. And tomorrow there is a Citizens Interracial Council Dialogue, which is a human relations agency in the city of San Diego. And we are dialoguing. The Urban Coalition Communications Task Force is invited.
and we will bring this issue up at this time. I am calling you to invite you to sit in on this discussion. He said, well, I don't have the time, but is Urban Coalition going to be there? And I said, they have been invited. And he said, but Mr. Chacon, Mr. Lennon is president of, I can't remember his name, Incorporated, and he's also one of the vice chairmen of National Urban Coalition. I said, well, then, should I send him the minutes of the meeting, as you suggested that I send to you, and a picture?
The anger and the goal of the domestic separation.
and their demands there, the group here support their demands, and also tell them that you would appoint a committee there to work with the Federation, give them whatever assistance that they might want to from us there, and also for this committee there to look into advertising them, such as these damn matches here. Fuck, I think it's for you.
Thank you.
I addressed myself to the editorial of Channel 8 yesterday, and I think that they're committed to look at that editorial very closely because we are also very upset about that.
All right, you got your first item, committee. You have your first item. You have Channel 8 people here. Let's look at the agenda and make a decision now in terms of the time left for those that buy it. I didn't mention one thing, so I'm sorry. I forgot something. I think that everyone knows that the air on the line in picket line at Daniel Gas, and anyone who can support us at that picket line, we wholeheartedly will support you. That's the invitation that I had to.
Yeah, I forgot to mention one other thing because I think it's important. The chair will take this prerogative. We've heard one specific issue discussed affecting the Mexican Americans directly. I suspect we would not have covered the full range if we didn't say, if that ad now, for those who didn't at that time feel it, if that is not an indignity to everybody, then we missed the point. It should be now obvious to everybody that it is not an insult to Mexican Americans. It should be felt, regardless of how we feel it, by everybody. That's first. The second is, for those who might not have followed the dialogue, because we've had this expressed many times, we didn't know there was a Chicano problem or a Mexican American problem. The Mexican American, for example, have raised the issues here several times about the children go to school. I'm trying simply to say, for those who don't know, they have the highest dropout rate, for example, of ethnic groups, or any group for that matter. There are many other aspects we've talked here about. As chairman, I'm trying to say, as we leave here, for those who have not participated before, please put this in the bigger perspective and see this as part of what we have been talking about. Namely, there is a problem of white racism as relates to the brown and the Chicanos and Mexican Americans, and it's been discussed here in detail. It should not be taken out of context and seen as one. I went to a dialogue and attacked about this little kind of thing, and what are they talking about? That is not the context in which we've tried to bring it this morning. It is a big problem here, and the minute you reveal the extent of this problem, and while we don't go into all of it this morning, remember, this is only one aspect. Now we may, somebody has to go? Would you take time at this moment, those who have to leave rapidly, and we'll get back to the agenda here. Somebody has to go. Oh, before you go, you do know Ed Butler's leaving, don't you?
That doesn't necessarily mean that he's participating in that.
We can hope he won't. I understand he's going to a private company. We just want to pay public respect to you, Ed.
As then he was a completely attended dialogue,
and it's a compliment, I think, to you, as you know, it's been said many times.
It has been consistently said publicly that Ed has made visible progress.
Ed himself has stated it
before the end is leave publicly.
The dialogue would like
to simply express its feeling for you
and its affection for you and the many things you've done and the movements you've made. And we salute you publicly, Ed.
I know that you'll be around and we'll see you when we
thank those for coming who didn't get a chance to say so. You're going to get to the agenda here. The first item is A, fair and impartial news coverage of minority communities, something that issues such as examples and so forth. Let's open it up with looking at we don't have much time to cover all of that. Let me suggest number 1, B, 2, since Jim McCain. Jim, you here? One of the issues raised in terms of communication was number 1, B, 2. That is, citizen involvement in San Diego's All-American City Award selection. And to the degree that we have Jim here, I think we should start out with that if there's no objection, and cover that since that is one of the specific issues raised. And spend a little time on that, and then move on to some of the others. Is that an objection?
Well, Clayton has to leave in 10 minutes.
Yes, I'm sorry.
20 minutes, Carol. I really wish I could stay, but I got a few minutes in here.
I think we should get to him,
Yes. Maybe let's give you some time to react any way you want to. Before you leave, since you are invited, and you know you have to go.
Can I put a case to Clayton and get his reaction?
To get it started?
Yeah.
I think that's good. You don't mind.
Last year, your station, in dramatic detail, focused upon a pile of tires which were set afire with a bowl of soft phosphorus. In dramatic fashion, the television camera caught this fire of smoke going up and then caught the faces of helmeted police officers marching in rank up the street. The one immediately tuning on the station that looked like the end of the world. The damage occasioned was $50 with the new tires. And yet the dramatic impact of that incident said to the white community, good God, get your shotguns and lock the doors and marching on it. Now, I would point that up as a point of discussion that in the city, at least, if I may, and I won't speak for the city, the reaction was you guys are all displaying the incident, you're deliberately fanning the flames, and you're doing it for commercial news value so you get a better readership on the station and the ads go up. I say that as an advocate, not that I necessarily agree, but let's use that for openers.
That's a news judgment, and we're gonna blow it from time to time in the future. But I can assure you that the concern on the part of responsible news people in San Diego, and there are a great number of responsible news people in San Diego, in my opinion, in all media, they spend a great deal of soul fishing on this. Now, particularly television has been under the gun since Chicago and before. And the thing that bothers me about it is that, first of all, we try as best we can to get the responsible guys in positions of real responsibility, because they can change a story, and they can lessen its flagrancy, and they can tell it like it is without trying to blow it up. And they endeavor to do that, but. The other side of the coin is a little different situation. We're going to go out and cover outbreaks and uprisings, and hopefully our new judgment will not build them out of the court. We hope that'll be the case. But we've got another thing we've got to tell, and we're having a hell of a tough time telling it. And Sam is here, he knows this, and I think the same is true at 8. We'd like to spend a little honest feed in on some of the positive things that are going on in this community. And we get some, but we don't really get it in a concerted goal. Now, we're not going to carry it all, and I assure you that that's not going to be the case. We're not going to devote all of our newscasts to the minority communities and the positive things that are going on in those communities, but we're seeking these kinds of stories, and when they happen, because they're not great in number yet, but we, as far as I'm exposed to, we jump at them, and we do carry them. And I feel this out as a challenge, and Carol and I have talked about this in great detail, and we've got to have a much better feed-in of these kinds of things that are going to get the story told better.
Tom and George, okay.
Mr. Bates, my concern is somewhat similar to that of the issue Ed just raised. Mm-hmm. It specifically concerned the report that was given to on the activity of the San Diego Police Department in its contact with the public, the number of arrests that were made as a result.
The editorial?
Yes, and the number of complaints that were filed as a result, and the validity within the complaints, the numbers were given.
Mm-hmm.
And it also reflected specifically to the number of complaints that Citizens and Racial Committee had also processed versus the number that were found valid. I'm wondering here, in your mind, just what was the intent? Was the intent to expose to the city of San Diego, the majority populace, how go to a job with any police department was doing, or was it intent to expose what someone had been saying about them all the time that was not valid? What did you have in mind at the time this was presented?
Well, first of all, we thought that we really honestly thought that the numbers of instances where police complaints against the police department were really a small number compared to the number of public contacts the police department made. And that's the fact we said. So we went down to the police department and we got these figures from Jim Rhodes' office. And we were satisfied that in our minds these were correct figures. And so we aired the editorial. Carol instantly reacted with a letter saying that we didn't think these figures are correct. And we don't want to misinform anybody. Whether anybody believes it or not, if some don't, and if we're wrong, we want our comeuppance, because we respect this right to editorialize very seriously, and we spend a lot of time checking out our facts. So I wrote to Carol, and I said, well, if we're wrong, you come and tell us where, and we'll change it. But I didn't hear back from Carol, and I said to God, I understand this, but nobody has come to me with the fact that we were wrong. And if we were wrong, I'll say so.
I'll say it publicly and
give it each time. But it's not happened. And we thought it was significant because I think San Diego, by and large, has a really an outstanding police force. And I think they are busy people and they do a lot of contacting with the general public. And the number of screens they get is really small in comparison to the thousands of contacts they make around the city.
One other thing. In your editorial, you noted that I'm not familiar with all the figures and how valid they are and what have you. I do know there was some discrepancy on the reporting of the figures accepted through CIC because I processed approximately 13 myself, and you stated that 13 had been filed through CIC and only 2 had been found justified. But my main concern is to this city and to the state as a whole and to the state, this country, is that you indicated that approximately 800,000 contacts had been made in a year by the San Diego Police Department, if I recall correctly. And out of the 800,000 contacts that had been made by, I believe there's over 800 police officers in the San Diego Police Department, somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 police officers, only 346 people had found it necessary to file complaints. So what this says is by percentage that out of 800,000 contacts by 800 officers, only 2 or 3 of these guys made mistakes in the year. Well, justified in the state, 46 complaints were found justified, if I recall correctly, in your editorial. Am I correct? I believe it's, are you saying that? Well, I believe if I recall correctly, you said that 46 complaints were found justified. So what this really tells the American public, and certainly at the time when the blacks were saying that there was so much police brutality, is that San Diego Police Department, each cop in the first year, only about 10 or 15 of them a year make mistakes. Or at the most, let's say 36 makes a mistake out of 800. Now, if you contend that that no one is perfect, then we must take a better look at the situation and say, how can the police department be perfect and only make 36 mistakes? Now, I'm not sure. I think this figure showed something else here other than what it was intended to show. You see, it showed how they showed that we're perfect when we know that we prove that we're not perfect. And I think it would be a little buttered up if anyone would really look into how these figures related to each other.
That's
right, exactly. That's right. I'm glad you said that because, see, the American public does exactly that to the black man. They read and they're saying dangerously it becomes detrimental to the black man.
Tom, did you still want to get in?
Yeah, now the question I want to raise is a little different. It's back to what you had said earlier. And I think that the two pictures that you want to compare and contrast are not placing the good news, the positive things, versus the bad news, negative things. Because I don't think it's going to change human nature enough to make people really interested in positive things. But I think that when
My point is that a pile of tires was sitting by to get burned in southeast San Diego, and a transfer that was $100,000 worth of damage
outside of Southeast San Diego. Somehow or another, the general public comes away believing that violence and property destruction occur where we are, and somehow they just don't get the picture of the $100,000 worth of school damage being done somewhere else. And maybe I'm sensitive to this because I'm in prison, and I'm not saying who's to blame, but I'm saying that the only valid measure you have, really, is what sort of image do people have in their mind. And they've got in their mind that horrible things happen down in our part of town, and that a little mischievous kids will do things other places, but not horrible things. And I challenge the news media to correct this unfair image. I'm not blaming you for it. I'm saying you got an opportunity, however, to help correct it, because it simply isn't so. I started looking at, what happened. We had one year at one of our junior high schools, a young adult not in school hit a teacher in the mouth. We heard a lot about it. It made the news media. That same day, my son was in Point Loma. That same day, a teacher at that school had all his front teeth knocked out. Remember that, bud? We didn't hear about it. It just didn't get out. Now, I don't want, I'm not saying, we ought to publicize all that, I'm saying this, that somehow we ought to re-look at how news gets out. I don't know enough about the process, but I know that we get the bad, you know, people think bad, and they don't think that thing, the same thing can happen somewhere else, and they don't think it.
I think it would be interesting to explore the mechanics. And you have around you in this room the guys who were involved in the mechanics, who really do put together the news.
Sam is the leading guy, one of the leading guys over at our bailiwick. Ray's here, and Bill's here, 39. And I think when I have to leave, I think it would be interesting to listen to how these guys put this stuff together.
Thank you. What he was laying to was the suggestions that were made by supposedly irresponsible people, meaning I think I was quote unquote black people who have been making recommendations that were irresponsible, therefore their recommendations should not be accepted. They were invalid.
This all had to do with when we were talking about the Citizens Review Board, or Police Review Board, then this editorial hit the news, and it was through Mr. Frazier's detailed information to offset what was being stated as a need for a police or a Citizens Review Board in helping police matters, not to take anything away from the police one, but try to add something to it. And this is when the editorial hit the Channel 10 screen, and he did close out with the irresponsible people that are making requests. I have the article that Peter got to go, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Oh, I understand. But those who have to leave, we're all human here. We don't mind. We understand that.
I've been sitting here for a couple of hours listening to the same people say the same things. I thought we were going to have a little dialogue between the regular dialogues and the communications, because we had damn little of that until Clinton sat down. I'd like to be kind of semi-retired now, kind of listen to everybody watching the I'd like to kind of put it back on the people who are saying that we who are in the communications and news business, or those like me who used to be, are always willing to print or to broadcast the bad things out of there. I'm going to hold your shit back. As a matter of fact, we have a very grave responsibility, and that is, what about the people who play up to our cameras? What about the people who use television to further their own particular aim or issue? I can give many examples. I'm sure the fellows at 8, 10, and 39 can give many more. When nothing is happening, a very quiet thing, you walk in there with your camera, turn on the light, and by God, you've got a near riot or a demonstration on your hands. And I will further make the proposition that, for reasons that I think we're all aware of, the people in the minority community are more television conscious. Within the last month or two, we've been in and done several news shows, apparently nobody's watched, from Lincoln High School. We were down at Memorial the other day. These kids are so television conscious. All you have to do is just flip on that light, and they're around, talking, chattering, immediately aware of when is it going to be on the air, what's going to happen. Don't misunderstand me. They're not rioting or demonstrating. They're honestly interested in what we're doing. But the point is that television is now in the situation where we make news merely by being there. I can remember one time I was covering a political meeting up in Portland, Oregon, and I think it was Rockefeller or somebody was speaking. He had a big flash. But for some damn reason that I'll never know, NBC had David Brinkley out. He never covered the story anymore, but he was out there at this time. As soon as the crowd spotted Brinkley, they all left Rockefeller and went over, and he had a bigger show than Rockefeller did. And television itself now, maybe the medium itself has become the message even more important than the story it's about to cover.
What's your point, Mr. Jones?
Well, the point is that you complain about the fact that you're down covering a story, and yet the fact we get down there, once we're there, the story becomes grows just by our very presence.
As soon as our perspective, I think, in order to facilitate this and get others from the media,
that isn't really what they're saying.
So let me just put it back in proper perspective and get some reactions of it.
They're not saying
they're complaining about your covering news. They're saying the way it is covered gives a certain kind of perception, or gives an impression, and that impression is false to what reality is. They're not saying they're complaining about news media. They're talking about the same thing that's talked about over the world, over the country in particular, that in these times, the news coverage from the perception of the whites and the blacks are two different things. is two different things. We had here a few weeks ago, well, just before Christmas, or during the Christmas holidays, we were able to get together in the Logan Heights area with the Catholics and the Protestants. And we had an all-day youth workshop dealing with the issues that, with the concerns of youth today in at St. Jude. We couldn't get any news coverage of that. But the children were there doing something constructive. Now, had they been there in a riot, we would have had the news out there. I called both Channel 10 and Channel 8, and they said, well, we're busy. But now, here is something that going on is worthwhile, with the Mexican-American kids and the black kids and the white kids there that represent the churches in that particular area. And we had, and Frank Dye was there as one of the panelists. We had an all-day session. We haven't heard any reports from the news about that particular session. But you get three children on the street fighting, and they blow it up into a riot. This is what we're talking about.
That's right. Exactly.
Phil?
Anyone from the news media wants to react to this point before I get to Bud?
Phil, could I?
I'm not quite from the news, Doc. Before we go to Bud, then,
one of the things I think, getting back to George's point about the editorial that you had on Channel 10 a few months ago, I think one of the things that disturbed a lot of people was the fact that this represented that the cases that were reported. What about the cases that weren't reported? You see, but the futility of people that minority people feel about not reporting any cases and so forth. And I think this is one of the, in terms of the positive thing that at the Lincoln Adult Center, we've had African history taught by a Nigerian, and the last few months I could not get any of the news media to come down. I even sent an article to the Union Tribune. I called three people there, including the education David there, and also the Tribune guy. They would not cover it. I also even sent a letter and an article to the Voice. They wouldn't even cover
it.
The reason is that African history is being taught, and a cultural background of many of the black people that don't know about what's happening, you see, in terms of their heritage. It's being taught at a school. It's the only school that's being taught. So it's being taught at Lincoln Adult Center. We also have Afro-American history that's being taught. And we could have a very good week here, and I think there's something that could be done positively.
But, and also tell, because we have left to know that, that's what's blown up San Francisco Street.
That's right.
And that you are proud enough to do that, so I hear of it. And look like if anybody is going to that much trouble to get ahead of something, it ought to be a good tiny bit of news.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Yes.
Now, this is what amazes me. About the actions of people. When good things are happening, this is really what's being said, Pete. When good things are happening, nobody's doing the recording, nobody's planting the seeds. But our country reacts when one negative or one person gets out of step, then everybody has a camel or one guy who's out of step. Now, 39 good guys are in this march out of 50. But that one cat's out of step and the camera's on him during the whole show.
What did he
do? Now, that's right. Well, this is a negative thing. This is a negative thing. You say that our country is going to pot. The TV and the news media is taking it to pot because you're already showing the pot. That's what you say. Now you want to show a good thing. You see, you don't televise church services. You see, I'm sure I'd be happy to have the news media come in and miss one of his sermons. I'm giving this as a reality. You don't know what he's telling the black kids that's good on Sunday morning. But you know what's supposed to come out and rap or tell them what you call bad on Sunday morning. You see, you take the negative and you blow up the negative and you expect this country to be positive.
Along these themes. And
Shelter Island, let me just throw something out on the table here. Have you been out in Shelter Island? I'm fairly certain you have. And Mission Bay area. Do you think that there is interracial employment out in these areas? And do you think it would be better for the 200th anniversary and our maturity in terms of being an all-American city if your news media were to push for interracial, including public contact, employment opportunities out there? Because I, frankly, get a very monochromatic view when I was out there on a few ways.
Portraying it as a riot, that is true.
I mentioned it, it is true.
Can you name the case, sir?
Yeah.
Let me name some specifics. On a Sunday afternoon at the Tune Post, 30th and Imperial Avenue, one rock front of the police car. Where is Blocko? 28th and Imperial Highway, 31st and Imperial. Flares, all traffic, routes to different areas. News media.
That isn't
just
a story.
What?
That isn't a story. We are rerouting traffic around
the. It was a complete story by news media. Disastrous area client site. He's declaring Southeast San Diego hazardous this and hazardous that. Definitely
was.
Did
the cops declare
it? The police declared the disaster. And these guys were sitting in their stations and were crawled up and came down to report the news. So the news media has always been following the police department on what they say. They use it the same way.
The news is, somebody mentioned, do we only cover bad news? What do you think news is?
No,
appointment to those two seats.
What is criticism of the media?
As a matter matter of fact, Channel 10 editorialized that a minority person should be appointed in Tom Hahn's district, and he was so appointed, and the mayor and the councilman both took off on Channel 10 for an unwanted intrusion into the policy-making area of the city council. What are these guys supposed to do? They took a position, I suppose, that you would consider a positive step, and they got clobbered from the other side.
Two
two or three people out there who caused the disturbance. You mentioned a false perception. Black and white view of the same development varies. You're perfectly right. This is the thing which we try again and again to put in balance. And this Muhammad Ali case is a case in point, I think, in that respect. You say African history was taught by a Nigerian that was not covered at the Lincoln Adult Center. We get about 145 pieces of mail a day in that station. And what we do in our coverage is made up basically on what we call a beat sheet. It's a future file. This is standard practice in any news operation. If we have what we call a thin day, we will take a hold of anything we can find. And it might very well have been your Nigerian. But your Nigerian on any given day has to compete with a lot of other things that are going on. There are a number of us in this room now who are involved in news media who are going to report on this meeting tonight. We cannot be here and someplace else at the same time.
I think you missed my point. I was talking about the press somewhere.
No, if you're talking about the press tonight, despite the fact that certainly the things to look at television in this community anyway is competition. I came from Seattle. We worked together up there. We didn't sit. We used to quote each other, and we were given credits. We worked together. There was not competition. We felt down here in a one newspaper town to a large extent.
You saying that's a detriment to the city to have one newspaper?
Oh, I certainly am.
Thank you. I just want to know, look out for the news media.
I'm not talking about a newspaper publication. I'm talking about the radio. There are a lot of fine community newspapers here in individual areas. Again, I have an interest in some of them, but by and large, for San Diego as a whole, with large circulation, I think it's the one newspaper town. I think everybody will. I could go on. I don't know how much time you have here. Somebody has.
You got to be over up here.
We never televised church services. Let me get on to that. In point of fact, this is done. It is done on holy days. We have gone not only into Protestant and Catholic churches, we have gone into Jewish synagogues, and we have done sound with all aspects. Not only that, but Kogo Radio, once a month regularly, has broadcast for years church services in their entirety.
Which
one is it from one church to another until I can get you a list of those if you'd like.
No, we haven't seen the denominations. Which one was Blacks were covered in?
I couldn't tell you that. I'm not involved in that. That's a programming function rather than a news function. It's something that I happen to know.
Well, you got to react.
I wanted to remark this first there when you first started out that he's glad that the columnist said that he didn't know anything about the process or the news.
I'm quoting you.
I want to remark
on that. That's the point I want to remark that. I don't know anything about the process of news, but I do know something about the finished product, and that's the paper because I've been reading it. I do know something about the finished product on television because we watch it. And what we're talking about is the impartial coverage of these media. For instance, in the paper, just the spikes of them. When students are black students at state college or any of these colleges there have some type of protest or something if they riot. But in the same paper, when the majority of students was doing this, it was a right that to be spent or to protest the plan of words. Anything that that the students there do there, it's bad there, what they do, they can do this. Also, you said in priorities there on news coverages. I do know that requests have been made there to the news media that you cover some incident that are not the news that we think is important. You say you're all tied up there, then we just see something on television, such as somebody selling a dog show. We do something. One guy is something there, or wet man. And this, you said, there is impartial process, and we stand this is not so.
All right. Let me just address myself to that specifically. Let's start from the standpoint of what Carol calls perception. You see something one way, and you say, why don't we get attention for the good thing? Why is it that when three people gather together, in effect, and throw rocks at each other, this is a riot, and we go out and cover it? This doesn't happen to be true. If you listen to police dispatches as we do on the radio,
because you could fairly out front.
I said that in partial coverage of them.
I didn't say anything.
We don't even cover them, period. I might say,
develop into something that we consider to be major.
But let's talk about this question of zeroing in on something. You are sensitive to things which you feel are covered in a small way in terms of perspective. A small group of people cause a problem. It's a minority situation. It's not the majority action, it's a minority situation. I think you're zeroing in on the editorial here in reference to police brutality as a case in point. This was a major issue. There was much discussion about that this morning, but it wasn't until this gentleman back here stood up and said something about our editorial in connection, and then Ed followed it up with a minority member, a member from the minority community, replacing Tom Hamm, that anybody mentioned that there was not editorial on the positive side. In other words, the same rhythm of tendency to pick out the unusual, the bad, or the black, or the dark side of life exists in your situation, too. You want to pick the particular thing out that is unfortunate. This is news for you. This was a
part unfair to say, not unfortunate. They're saying unfair, not unfortunate.
Yeah, well, what I'm talking about now, and I remember the first time I attended these meetings in here, I listened to you going on at considerable length on the question of the matter. Define your terms. It's a good point. Because I think we found a great difference in understanding of terminology here. The words we use mean different things to different people. What I would like to get down to is that I think that there is the same tendency on the part of some people in this room to pick out a particular instance and draw exception to it without regard to many of the others that are on the positive side.
All right, hello, Tom.
Yes. I won't pick out a particular incident. I would like to ask the evening what the term black militant means. What is the news media trying to, what type of person is the news media trying to convey to the public when it uses the term black militant?
You want me to answer that?
Anybody from the news?
I'll answer it. Nobody else wants to. It's a term which has been used by the people who have described themselves as black militants. It is a term which has been used on television by members who say that we are militant group. We are black. And this put together has come out again as a black militant terminology derived from some definition by someone who says he is black and he is militant.
And then they always put
could
on
the... Could people at Harold respond to that first thing before you...
Harold
King, yes. Because Harold is often compared with the... Would you respond to that, please?
I think that Sam is quite accurate in his description of how the term black militant gets into the news. The people themselves, they describe themselves as black nationalists or black militants who are activists, and we use the phrase because they themselves use it. Now, we get calls from Mexican Americans who object to our reference to the term brown, and this is exactly what the most activist Mexican American individuals refer to themselves. There's a brown beret, and they refer to themselves as a black and the browns and a brotherhood of action against the establishment, which is oppressing and suppressing. So we are not really creating the terminology ourselves. The terminology springs from the people who actually are performing in that field. And perhaps we might go a step beyond beyond that in referring to anybody, perhaps, who is a demonstrator, let's say, as a militant. Perhaps we go a little bit overboard on that because there are many moderates who are demonstrators and could not be considered militants. But generally it's based on what the people themselves,
who are rebelling against the injustices they feel are being perpetrated on them,
consider themselves, and it's not we that are christening them
in that category.
I know quite a lot of people in the city who get the newspaper using the connotation of black militants, but I don't know of any who describe themselves as black militants. Now, maybe you do, but I don't know a single black person in this town whom you would call a black militant who describes themselves as black militants. Now, if you do, you tell me who they are.
Well, you think
also the word, I've never heard the word ultra-militant before. Now you're ultra-militant.
Let's consider this.
Would you? What I'm driving at is saying that, I believe the news
responsibility to give that majority public a context in which to place their views. Now, the term black militant, you say that black people describe themselves as black militants. I don't know of any who do. Now, maybe you do. But let me go a step further. Now, what I'm trying to get at is, what is it that you're trying to convey to the public? And it's really the majority public that you're conveying the news to. What is it that you're trying to convey when you use the term black militant?
Well, I'm kind of curious about this whole concern over the semantics on this. Is being a black militant something evil?
Power, which was used by Social Timeline and Rap Brown, they were the ones that started the use of it.
We're comparing as
women.
What
does it mean to you? And what are you trying to convey?
Can you link that term so
it makes it all in the media, in referring to a person as a black militant, is saying that this person is demonstrating and acting against what he considers an evil in society that is oppressing him. He is a special kind of a person. He's not one of the great mass that is silent and apathetic. Now, it seems to me that militant is an admirable term. It's a term that shows a person's concern and is willing to fight for what he wants, what he thinks is due him. And I don't see why we should be castigated for referring to anybody who is fighting for his rights as a militant any more than the revolutionaries in 1776 were militants.
And you're unaware of the context in which the
connotation
is what you're referring to.
What shall we call them? Activists? Does that sound better? I mean, are you looking for a term that sounds better? That's what I'm wondering.
Forget the term. Okay, be right with you. Let's go to your responsibility to give the majority community a context in which to receive that news. If you are putting it out in the way that you're saying it now, have you ever explained that?
Right. Well, I don't know that it needs explanation, really.
Do
you mean to say that we should editorialize and explain why we refer to a certain person as a black militant while we're referring to him as such?
All right, let me give you a step. In last year, this same dialogue, we left eight things that we wanted done. One of them was to provide a regularly scheduled forum in the major news media for a minority race people who comment on news affecting them from a minority race frame of reference, to put it in a context. The San Diego Union printed the first seven of those recommendations. That one, the eighth one, was left out of the news story. Nothing has ever come out of sense. Now, I'm saying that to establish a frame of reference or a context in which the majority community can start to interpret the news that comes from the black community, you can't do. And you have not done.
All right, then you're suggesting that a certain representative of the minority community come on TV and radio on a regular basis to interpret the news according to their lights, to the way they see it.
And
that's what you do. Who chooses them, and who says that they represent the total viewpoint of the minority community?
All right, you provide the forum, and we'll do the rest.
Yeah, but you say we'll do the rest.
Okay, specifically
in Tokyo, who do you choose that will give you your perception?
We're talking about news now. We're reporting what is happening.
Yeah.
All right, and you're objecting to our referring to people who are protesting very vigorously.
No, it's not.
To the fact that as you put the news out, I know that the majority community does not have a context to it. Let me give you a quick example, a very quick one. Somebody in the Los Angeles Times wrote about a year ago, and I don't
You picked up a newspaper in the morning, most of it, and read that an Eskimo killed a crippled sled dog and fed it to his 3-year-old son. You might believe it, because you don't know any Eskimos, and you don't have a context in which to place that news. But if you read that a Del Cerro housewife killed a dog and fed it to her 3-year-old son, you would reject it because you do have a context in which to pick that news. I'm saying that the news media keeps the majority community reading about Eskimos killing crippled sled dogs. As far as the minority community is concerned, exactly. Rather than giving them a context in which to place the news that it puts out.
Okay, can you relate to that?
Well, I've been listening to everything that's derogatory about news coverage here as far as it relates to the minority community. And I'll venture to say that if you get every one of these people here that are representing news media to come back at a future dialogue in the near future, with a complete catalog of all the positive things that they have presented with regard to minority and majority community relations.
You see, I'm not talking on that level now, Harold. Let him finish.
Let him finish. On a different level. But you see, it seems to me that we're always on the defensive. We're always being blamed.
Can you accept responsibility for being defensive?
Well, I don't blame you at all, because after all, you're more sensitive to this than we are. You're right in the middle of it. And we're trying to understand as much as possible what the psychology is here that we have to cope with. But the point is that we're always on the defensive as perpetrating a derogatory picture of the minority, emphasizing all of
the violence. What I'm saying.
But what I want to point out is that we are unfairly being criticized for not having presented the positive view. And I pointed out a little while ago that if we were permitted to, during the next week or two, to present what we have shown on TV, what we've done on radio, what the newspapers, the community newspapers, and I don't know about the union tribune, but the community newspapers have done, to present in a positive light, in a constructive light, attempting to bring understanding of the community about the whole problem, that you'll see that it's very well balanced and that actually that there's far more positive presentations than there are negative. And
Hold a minute, Harold. Ed, you wanted to say something a minute ago.
An interesting perception. I had not thought to see the news media personnel casting a role of the police. You now are in the identical posture with the police department again. And the discussion that's going on here is identical to the discussions we have had with the police, that you stand in the shoes of Joe O'Connor with this catalog of good things, and that you're standing in the shoes of the Kogo editorial about how few complaints are being made against you, and all the good things that you've done. And it's fascinating, but identical parallel here. I suspect it's because you, as are the police, the visible cutting edge of a white majority society, that cuts into the minority community. They can reach out and grab the police officer, who's our agent. They can reach out and grab you, who's the voice. And that's the total parallel between the police department and the news media, and that's what I see emerging in this discussion. And Tom's comments here are comments that he's addressed to the police officers on their perceptions of black citizens in a white community. And his comments to you are identical to the comments he makes to the police 2 years ago, a year and a half ago.
Right? What implication, what conclusions are you drawing?
Well, I'm drawing these conclusions that the police are an institution in a white society. The news media is an institution in a white society. The San Diego Gas and Electric Company is an institution in a white society. The indictment, and you say we're speaking derogatory things, the indictment is not against the police, it's not against the news media, it's not against San Diego Gas and Electric Company. The indictment you're really giving us is an indictment against a racist society dominated by the white.
But I go one step further, Ed. There's another point here. That is that I think, take all these other institutions, police and officers on the other, but the news media has, in my opinion, the best opportunity to to educate, really.
Why should they be the evangelist?
All right, they're not the evangelist. Forget that. But the news media, the point that I'm driving at, is whether or not the news media has a responsibility to give the majority community a context in which to receive the nature of our protest against these institutions.
Just in their time.
The news media is not doing that. Now, what you have described here is something that relates to what we are really protesting against, what the dynamics of the problem, and the majority community does not have a context in which to place that to understand and to start to interpret these types of things, these types of protests, in the sense that you just described. I'm asking if the news media does in fact have a responsibility to find a way to give the majority community a context in which to receive this kind of thing that you're talking about. And I'm saying that it has an opportunity to do so and the capability to do so, but it is not doing it. One, I don't think it even conceives that it has the capability. Secondly, I don't even think that it has any desire to.
Well, what you're saying, Tom, is that because we're white, we're innately insensitive to the problem. We can't perceive it because of having been immersed in this racist.
And saying that you don't perceive the opportunity and the responsibility that you have to properly interpret the news.
What mechanics, then, do you suppose whereby what you want to do is to have balance? To have the proper perception of the potential minority community presented, is that correct? In the coverage of news?
Right.
Whenever there's a, like, for instance, on the Muhammad Ali a story that occurred a couple of years ago, in which I happen to figure pretty prominently. At any rate, on something like that, where there was a perception by some that two or three people were just throwing rocks and the police should not have moved in great force.
Prevent from spreading.
Now, there have been a representative that you would have chosen to come on immediately after this was presented and explain what your viewpoint is, so that the general public would have a balanced view and that what we presented was entirely wrong. And
I'm not relating that to a specific incident. I'm relating it to the totality of what's going on in the minority community, and have some means of a regularly scheduled commentary on what's going on in the minority community from a minority community frame of reference. Now, there's such a thing as fake news, and I don't quarrel with that. If something is news, it's news, so it's reported as fake news. But to give, when I hear of things that are happening, I receive this news in a particular place, on a particular term of reference, in a particular context, and I interpret it differently than your majority public does. Now, you're saying that there are some that you recognize that you are, you know, this and the other, that there are some dynamics to this news that goes out that have some validity. I'm saying that the majority public needs to be educated a great deal more than it is, along the lines that Ed was talking about, and that the news do have an opportunity to do it, but they don't do it.
And then you're following a regular program.
What has happened is the news, the federal government has already proposed a program. They have said that minorities have the right to react to statements that are illegally made by F. To love them only by the news media. They have a right to be given the time on the news stations to react, to justify or clarify their comments. Are you aware of that?
We're talking about straight news now. On the editorial standpoint, of course, that's true. But what we're talking about is straight news, and that's what you're objecting to, the way we cover straight news.
Well, that's not what I'm objecting to the absence of the other thing.
Thank you. That's right. That's what you say you don't have because you're not sensitive.
Why should the news media be the institution to bring about social change? I think it'd be a hell of a dangerous precedent. The social change you want is good in your terms, but the Bushes want a social change in other terms. And why do you want these people to be the instrument to bring about the change? And what would be their responsibility there?
Terrence, I didn't want you to leave. You had your head up some time ago, and I didn't back around to you. So after Tom here, Tom, did you want to react there?
I'm not at the same place that others are, and the dialogue is frequently like that. We didn't get together and decide to present something in charge you with something. Each one of us was thinking about. Now, Hal, I don't think that a dialogue is a place where you come together and weigh your good points against your bad points. That would be a waste of time. And when the school system, we sat on this hot spot, you lose here. But the school system sat here week after week after week, and everybody tries the same dodge. You know, they're side by side, and look how many good things are going on. That is not what this dialogue is interested in. Yeah, we focus on the negative, starting with the Turner Commission report, but we knew it long before then. There are a lot of things wrong with this society, and one of the things wrong with society is the culture is racist. Now, I'm not saying you are racist or he's a racist and you're not and all that. I'm saying that this society defines and evaluates people in terms of certain racial characteristics. Now, since that's wrong, this dialogue is concerned with trying to correct whatever it is that contributes to this racism. Now, it might be the police department, it might be the city schools, it might be the press. When we talk about the press, we are not going to come here and talk about the beautiful stories you did, a brotherhood week or whatever. What we're going to talk about is there are some misconceptions in the general public about the nature of us as people and our communities as communities. You have an opportunity to present a more honest view of what we are and what our communities are like, and since you have that opportunity, you have that obligation to America so that you can do something about racism. That's what we are talking about in here. Not having a feel. It might be that if you could measure everything you've done more good things than you have bad. Bully for you. But that isn't what we came here to talk about. We want to talk about the things that you could be doing to make this a better society. And that's what this whole dialogue is about, except that we didn't agree now what we were going to say before we came in. And many times somebody will say something, I don't agree with that, I don't understand what you're talking about. But by and by, we get to that same point.
So, and look, I know this is time, and I know how we feel, and we're just getting started, as I said, when we begin. It's the latter part that gets good. So, I'm going to take two other responses, I must. Then I'm going to make an announcement and an observation. I'll make the observation now. And then I'll make an observation last for the press that's here and others. The first observation is we have our newest appointed city councilman, and others are not here this morning. Ed is consistently here, of course. Gene Wise is here from the city. Don is here representing the police department. Mary, I guess you had to leave. Oh, she's back there somewhere? Mary's here. She's here. Oh, there she is. So we have others. But the city councilman is back there. Well, he can mention it then. You can make it out and try it. And then we have another media here, Ali Verdane, there to pick it up. And another news medium, most of us know, Trent McKinnon here from the Sentinel, and he brought some of his coverage of different things that's been going on in the community. So at least should give time a moment or two, and then I know you're going to be back. But today at least, Trenton and George, would you come in at this point? Trenton first.
Yes.
Oh, he's also one of the chairmen of the Urban Coalition itself. I see that, as I said.
He gets on
I'm talking to Boone, I think Tom put out a point that's rather interesting in parallel. When you're talking about the news media that we should consider, Tom says we don't come to a dialogue to talk about the good things. We come here to talk about the bad things. And the bad things are the things that attract our attention. Now, this often happens in the news media, too. We have to remember that the news media is a commercial enterprise. We do have a conscience, we do try to influence people socially and in citizenship, but basically we're a free enterprise or private enterprise operation, and if we don't interest people, we soon don't stay long in business. And if we don't stay long in business, we soon will not be able, in a position to be of beneficial influence along the lines that we've been talking about this afternoon or this morning. I think most news media, at least in San Diego, are interested in being of value and contribution to its community, black, brown, and white. But I've noticed that whether a newspaper or a television station or a radio station is run, irrespective of the color of the publisher or the editor, he still has to go out and get the attention of people. And unfortunately, the attention of people is riveted more to the bad things than to the good things. And oftentimes, news goes together so fast that it's impossible to judge it and evaluate it in the perspective that you can when you get home and look at the newspaper that evening after dinner, or when you're watching a TV show, and after the show is all over with, you say, well, why didn't you do it this way? Usually the news editor on the TV station or the news editor in the newspaper will often catch himself too after the show is over. But it's gone. It's a fast-moving operation. But we have to stay in business, and the way we stay in business is to interest people. And you don't interest people by talking about the good things necessarily. You have to get some of the exciting things. And we can't, as Ed says, be the missionaries for the world or be the conscience of the American people. We do have our editorial pages. We do have a commentary. We do have public service shows on radio and TV and newspaper pages that try to reflect the good. But when you run surveys on this, it's surprising to us how few people pay attention to that as compared to the other more exciting news. Just the same as if we started talking in the dialogue about all the good things we do, pretty soon your attention would drop off and people wouldn't see this. What I'm trying to say is simply this. The news media in San Diego, I am sure, wanted radio and service to the entire community, not just the second community. And I think our news shows on television in San Diego is good to get from any place in the nation. So this is fair and we try to do an objective job. Maybe you guys got like Carol Keene and Sam Minister, you can't find any two better fellows in the business. And I think, I don't want to comment on the daily newspaper so much, but I think for community stations, they don't like the old blanket, and some of the others will do a good job. But I'm not sure that you can really improve it. Let's pick up things and we'll do a test.
Run in the voice newspaper, at least 20 stories run African courses.
Leon?
Well, I guess I have to go there. I want to see if it's over. I was thinking of it in Florida. I'm trying to figure out some way to say, from my point of view, what I think, what I know Tom was trying to say. Then Mr. McQueen can kind of give me what I think maybe the slide there. The whole thing was like,
very vote the resolution that brought me 2 million to the council? Then we'll do that. So we have a Christmas dollar for people that we need to do.
Only a few put it in.
It's being
three. Thank you.